blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Oh, what love, no greater love. Grace, how can it be that in my sin, yes, even then, He shed His blood for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. The blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood.
Just the sum of every high and every low. Told you we was going to have some special singing this morning. Wow. Amazing. Even old Chuck done all right this morning. Noah, thank you for being with us this morning. Really enjoyed it. To all these kids, I say kids because I'm 42, okay? They're not kids anymore. They're young adults. But wow, I appreciate the effort, the talent that God's given them, and them being willing to use it for God's glory. You know, God deserves the glory for every bit of it. But I just want to tell them that I love you and thank you so much for using what God's given you for His glory. Wonderful job this morning. Amen. If you will, take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Romans chapter number 8. We're going to continue our thought process this morning on for our good and His glory. As you're turning this morning, I'll also make mention of this again. I mean, what talent? I mean, from the piano playing, the guitar playing, drum playing, the singing. Some of these kids, please don't take that derogatory. I don't mean it derogatory whatsoever. You're just my kids, okay? But you see them out here, and you might get a hello out of them, and you might get a handshake, or you might get that they awkwardly pass you by on the other side of the hallway so they don't have to talk to you. But then they get up here and they sing and you're like, wow, all of that is in there and it's now coming out. Man, just thank God for it. I really, really appreciate them for that. And then as I look across the church, I see other phenomenons happening in our church. And you're going, what phenomenons are you talking about? Well, I had the opportunity to go to Surrey Central and watch a couple of basketball games over the weekend or over Friday night. And wow, we had some people from our church out there playing, and got to watch the JV boys. And I didn't get to see the JV girls, but I seen the JV boys and the varsity girls and the varsity boys. And a lot of these young people are out there competing against one another, and they compete hard. They don't cut each other any slack. And then they're sitting together in the house of the Lord this morning. How wonderful that is. Amen. I want you to know, I thought each and every one of you played wonderfully Friday night. The team that won, the team that lost, I'll just leave that out for a moment. But I thought you all played great, but man, my greatest brag on you is to be in God's house this morning. I was watching that game like, yeah, that's one of mine, and that's one of mine. Not that I saved you, but that you come to church with me, that's my family. That's what I mean. That's my family. That's my family out there, and I'm really proud of you, really proud of everyone that put forth Friday night, and then again for the singing this morning. If you will stand with me, and let's read a couple of verses together. I won't leave you standing for the whole time that we're going to be reading this morning, because I'm going to go through a lot of verses. I'll do my best to preach in a timely manner if God will allow, but I just want to be obedient to him this morning. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28, again, a very familiar scripture that we see that things are for our good. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Everything happens for our good. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 11. And you can either turn there or if you look at the screen, Shannon will have it for you on the screen. "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. For our good and his glory." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all that you do for us. God, I do want to thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. I want to especially thank you for the ones who have come this morning and they have participated in our worship, God, whether it be at their seat, in their hearts, or whether it be up here on the platform with music or testimony or whatever it is, God, I want to thank you for each and every one. God, I want to thank you for what you're doing in our church. God, help us to seek you. God, I pray that you'll clear our minds for just a few minutes. Open our hearts, God, that we may be able to receive the word that you have for us this morning. I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, that today will be the day that they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we began talking about for our good and God's glory last week, and we went over into the book of 2 Kings and we read about the Shunammite woman, and we know the story of the Shunammite woman and how she prepared for Elijah and God gave her a child for the sake of Elijah, and then how that we seen that last week that she had a need as she left for a famine and she come back home, and that God had already worked in her behalf for her good and for his glory. But this morning, I want you to turn with me to some very, very familiar scripture. This scripture is so familiar and so used and so preached on, and I've probably used it several times in messages that I've preached in the 8 years that I've been here, or nine, or whatever it is. I can't keep up any longer. I'm not trying to keep up anymore. I just want to be here with y'all till God says not to any longer. But if you will, look with me in Daniel chapter number 3. I've got to get started or I'll never get finished this morning. Very powerful scripture in God's word, and scripture that we hear about in songs, that we hear about in testimonies, that we hear about from teaching in Sunday school, that we hear many preachers use. And again, I know that I've used it many times, but I want to show you in the Bible over the next few weeks. I don't know how long we'll be on this topic or if God will change us somewhere in the middle of it. But as we're looking at the things that are done for our good and his glory, again, I mentioned to you that I heard that slogan the first time. I'm going to say slogan. I heard that said the first time Scotty prayed it at the end of a prayer when we were getting ready to dismiss from our choir practice before we come in here and sing. And he said, "God, we want to thank you and we ask you to do all these things for our good and your glory." And I'm glad that God does things for our good, as Romans chapter 8, 28 says. But then in 1 Peter 5, 11, we said, seeing that everything we need to give him glory for. Because his glory, he belongs, all the glory belongs to him. Daniel chapter number 3, read with me this morning. Very familiar scripture. We're going to stop along the way. I'm sure you already guessed that. Daniel chapter number 3, let's begin reading in verse number 1. And we're going to see a story, an event in the Bible. As we read this, I want you to know this is true stuff. This is not fiction. This is not fables. This is not parables. This is stuff that really happened, and God had it recorded in his word for us. So Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says this: Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits, or about 90 feet, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, around 9 feet wide, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar is a wicked king. He has godly moments in his reign. He has opportunities that he sees God, and if you go back to the end of chapter number 2, you'll see that he even recognized who God was. But then in chapter number 3, verse number 1, he switches. You know what? I feel like we got a lot of people in our society like that now. They recognize God at times in their life, at times when it's convenient for them, at times when they need help in their life, but then they kind of go back to their own way. Let's not be flip-flop Christians. Can I tell you right now that I hate flip-flops? I cannot stand flip-flops, anything that goes in between my toes and goes flop, 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 flop when you walk in it. I'm not wearing it. Just not going to happen. I hate flip-flops. Well, you know what? I believe God hates flip-flops. He don't want flip-flop Christians. He wants us all in for his glory. But here in Nebuchadnezzar, we see a flip-flop Christian. That's the reason Jesus wore sandals, not flip-flops, by the way. Verse number 2. Nebuchadnezzar has resurrected this great big image. Look what happens in verse number 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. He calls all the anybody's who was somebody. He calls all the important people, and he says, I want you to come together, and I want you to see this image that I have set up, and we're going to dedicate this image that I have set up. Verse number 3, then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Look, the king has invited them here for a purpose. They have been brought together for the dedication of this image. They get there, they see this great big thing, they know what the king is expecting out of them, and I'm sure they all go to ha-ha and together. Have you ever been around the ha-ha crowd? You know, they get together and they just want to pat each other on the back and ha-ha buffet. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes. Hey, I want to lift you up. I want to tell you how wonderful you are. And they've all come together and they're all important. Well, listen, I've never been a part of the ha-ha crowd. I'm not good at being part of the ha-ha crowd. That's the reason when I love my job, but when I go to manager's meetings, I'm the hey-hey instead of the ha-ha. You know, that's kind of the way that it goes. But they've all been brought together to ha-ha together. Hey, we're all important. We're all going to come together. Hey, listen to me. Don't ever let being around certain people change you or change what you believe or change those lines that you have drawn in your life. Don't be ha-ha. I want you to stand out for the glory of God. He's going to do things for your good that you may be part of his glory. I know that it's hard. I've had the ha-ha crowd invite me once. They realized real quickly that I was kind of like Jethro Bodine, and they didn't want me around there, you know. Hey, man, y'all got any horses? I mean, that's kind of what I'm like. I can't ha-ha very well. But here they've been brought together with the ha-ha crowd. Let's look right here. Sorry, Buffy. Verse number 3. Verse number 4. Then an herald cried aloud. Then they got this great big spokesperson. He's blowing a big horn, wanting everybody's attention. Or maybe if you're part of the ha-ha crowd, the person that stands up and goes ding-a-ling-a-ling and wants to tell something. Okay, here's what's getting ready to happen. Then a herald stands up. Cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Now, I would just want to believe, as we're sitting here this morning, that all of these people that have been invited to this dedication, that they didn't know exactly what they were getting themselves into. I would like to believe, I'm one of those people that I believe the good good in everybody until they show me that there's something different. Sometimes I'm even guilty of believing good in people even though they have shown me what their true intention is. But I believe that as they come together here, I would like to believe that some of these people had come to be part of the ha-ha crowd and to be part of the dedication, but they didn't understand exactly what was going to be asked of them. They didn't know that Nebuchadnezzar was going to command them to bow down and worship this golden image. I would like to think that if some of these people had known it, they'd say, listen, I'm all about a dedication. I'm all about being part of the ha-ha crowd, but I'm not going to bow down and worship your image. I'm just not into that. That's not me. That's not what I'm going to do. I would like to believe that some of these people had that kind of decision-making in their life, but here they are, and they're in a place where now they've got to make a decision. They've got to decide if they're going to stand for who they are or if they're going to follow what everybody else does. Listen to me, Christian people. Many times in your life, you're going to find yourself in a place that maybe you get to somewhere that you didn't realize exactly what it was going to be, that you didn't really realize exactly what was going to be asked of you, that you didn't realize what the expectation of that you got in the middle of. And you're going to have to make a decision whether or not you're going to stand for God or whether you're going to go for the crowd or whether you're just going to do it because everybody else is doing it. And oh, I've got in the middle of this and I'm going to be the odd duck if I say I'm not going to do this. I'm going to be the oddball. I'm going to be the holy roller. I'm going to be the whatever that you want to label yourself or that you think everybody else is labeling you. You're going to be the one that sticks out if you decide not to do what everybody else does. And I believe that these people, I would like to believe that some of them were in the middle of that situation. And now they have a decision that they have to make. And I want you to look what happens. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now all of a sudden there's a consequence that comes along with their decision making. Do you know that sometimes in your Christian life there's going to be consequences that come along if you make the right choice for the glory of God? Sometimes, hey, consequences can be good. We always think about bad, but consequences can be good and consequences can be bad. It's just the result of a decision that you're going to make. But sometimes those consequences, you may have to make a choice. You may have to decide, hey, this is a line that I've drawn in my life. I'm not willing to cross that line, and it's going to cost me my job if I don't cross this line. You may be in a place and you say, I've drew this line in my life and everybody is going to make fun of me if I don't cross this line and do what everybody else is doing. You may be in a place that you say, I've drawn this line in my life and I'm not willing to do that, but if I choose that, it's going to cost me financially. It's going to cost me socially. It's going to cost me in some aspect of my life. It's going to cost me, and you're going to have to make a decision what you're going to do about it. Some of you have experienced it. Some of you have been there. You've made decisions. And I wish we had the time to do it, and we don't, to go through the church. But have you ever made the decision to follow God and felt like it was the wrong decision? I haven't. Now, at the point in time, it may have been the hardest decision that I ever made for that moment. But every time, always, it turned out to be the right decision. Following God is not easy, but it is always right. Amen. Let's continue reading. So now there's a consequence. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. You know what? Everybody just said, you know, it's just going to be easier to do what everybody else is doing. Sure is. Sure is. It's easier to be a flip-flop Christian, too. It's easier to come into the house of the Lord on Sunday morning and to worship the Lord and to pray for these young people and to be with these young people, to be with the adults in our church and encourage one another and do all of the things here on Sunday morning. And then as we leave on Monday, we go, well, you know what? This is not that bad. This is not good, hurting my spiritual life that much. This is not going to be okay. And I'm going to just compromise with God, and me and God's got this all worked out. And you know what? I'm saved. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, so I don't have to worry about anything. No, that's when you turn into a flip-flop Christian, or as the Bible says it, you turn into a lukewarm Christian. And he says, I'd rather you be hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God don't want us to be flip-flop Christians. But now all of these people, whether they came here understanding the expectation or not, whether they came here wanting to make the right decision or not, they decided to do what everybody else is doing. And that is so easy. That's a cop out. It's so easy to do what everybody else is doing. But it's so hard sometimes to be the weirdo. But can I tell you that God's called us to be the weirdos? He's called us to be a peculiar people, to be different than the world. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. If I'm going to get this job, I'm going to have to relax on my beliefs. Then you don't need that job. Preacher, you don't understand. If I'm going to hold this place in the community, then I can't go exactly what the Bible says. Then you don't need to be that person in the community. Hadn't you rather be what God would want you to be in His kingdom instead of in this community? Absolutely. Here they're making decisions. They've all decided to fall down. Look at verse number 8. Wherefore, at a certain time, Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, listen, these guys are in. I can't get into all this. I don't have time. They are captive right now. They are slaves under Nebuchadnezzar, but they have earned Nebuchadnezzar's favor, some of the people who have been taken in. And he's got them in leadership roles. And now these people that are going around and they're just making sure that everybody is bowing like the king said they were supposed to. You know, that's the way it is in our life now. You got little tattletales running around, right? Did you know that Ray says he's a Christian? Did you know that Corey says he's a Christian? But look at him over there. Listen, they're not your judge. But let's not just give them stuff to talk about. I don't want to be the kind of person that I claim to be one thing, but people can accuse me of doing all kinds of things, and they're right. If they accuse you and they're wrong, that's okay. But if they accuse you and they're right, then we need to take that up with God. I got to move. Wherefore, the Chaldeans came. Here comes the tattletales. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar. I was a tattletale, by the way, in school. I was the one that took names and told the teacher if you talked while she was out of the class, just so you know. And I'd even put a mark by your name if you... Anyway, let's go on. Myron, he knows what I was like in school. You hush. Wherefore, at certain time, Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man should hear the sound of all these instruments. Look, verse number 11. Whoso falleth not down to them worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs that of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They come and say, King, you made the rule, and now some of the people that you've set in leadership roles, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, made him mad to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? He's given them an opportunity to back down. People will give you an opportunity to back down. Don't take an opportunity to back down. Some of you are so, so bold about some of the things in our life. Some of us are so, so bold about our political affiliation. Oh, and if you call me the other one, I'm ready to fight, right? Some of us are so, so bold about different things in our life. I'll use that one as the main example. But you are so, so bold. But man, when people come to us and want to confront us about our relationship with Jesus Christ, you're like, well, I believe in Jesus, but, and we go to backing down. Don't ever back down on your faith in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that God has never backed down on you? Where did I get to? Somebody help me. 15, now if you be ready. At what time you hear the sound of all of these musical instruments? Let me stop real quick. I know I keep saying that. Real quick, I want to talk to you about music just for a second. A bunch of you just went, oh, no. Music is very influential in our lives, is it not? I listen to multiple genres of music. That's a good word, ain't it? I could have said kinds, but I said genres. Ha ha. I listen to all kinds of music. Yeah. But be careful what you let in here. That's all I'm going to say. You listen to the words. Not all I'm going to say. You listen to the words of the music that you're listening to and see what kind of thoughts they cause you to have. I know we all like different kinds of music. We all like different beats of music. I know I can see how I respond in my life of what's coming in versus what comes out. It is greatly influential. Why do you think Nebuchadnezzar was setting this scene for these people? It was this wonderful time of music and worship. I believe music is very influential in what we worship in our lives, whether we're worshiping ourselves or whether we're worshiping God. Be careful of what you allow in. Verse number 15, 16. Here we go. Let's go back to 15. Very powerful. In the middle of it. Well, but if you not, he give them a chance to worship, and he says, if you do, that's good. But if not, if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? What a wonderful question that Nebuchadnezzar asked. Verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful. We don't even have to think about it. We don't have to even give one thought to the answer that we're going to give to you in this matter. If it be so, our God, he said, who be that God? And they said, they didn't say, well, they God. They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They said, hey, we've got the answer for you. Our God is able to do it because we know that he does stuff for our good. We know that he works on our behalf. We know that he's got us, that he holds us in his hand, that he goes before us, that he protects us. We know without a doubt that our God is able to do anything and everything that we need him to do. Church, do you have that much faith in your God? We do today, don't we? We do sitting in church together. Hey, man, y'all should have erupted right there. That would have been a little more dramatic, you know, anticlimactic. Now it's anticlimactic. That we should have explained, yes, we know God is able until something happens. And then we go, oh, God, what are we going to do? But you don't see that with these guys. Verse number 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. Not only will he save us from the fiery furnace, he will take us and save us from your hand. Verse number 18, but if not, what? I was talking with my dad just here recently, and he's going through a lot right now with my mom, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle that I don't comprehend that he's going through. It's my mom. But it's his wife that's going through this. So even I don't kind of comprehend everything that he's going through. And he said, you know what? He said, sometimes I feel like I pray and I ask God for healing. And I ask God to move. And I ask God to take care of this. And then I turn right around and say, but God, if that's not your will. And he said, is that me doubting? Now we're talking about a man that has preached the gospel all of my life. But he's struggling with some things. He's not struggling with his faith. He's not struggling with the word of God. But he's fighting a battle in here. He said, is that doubt that God's going to do it? I said, absolutely not. I said, the three Hebrew children were 100% positive. 100% positive that God was able to deliver them, that God was able to take care of it. But they just said, but if you decide not to, we're going to love you and we're going to trust you anyway. So church, when you get in the middle of a circumstance and when you get to where you're asking God to do things for your good, and then you say, but God, if that's not your will, don't take that as I have doubt God's ability. Take that as in God, I know that you know what's best, and no matter what you decide, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to love you anyway. Amen. Amen. But if not, they said, we're going to do it either way. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He was extra mad. And the form of his visage was changed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He heated up 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated or was designed to be heated before. In verse number 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, Meshach and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now, if you can imagine this, he gets the strongest, the best warriors that he has to bind them. And I don't think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was down on the ground kicking and screaming. I think they were like, here you go. Their faith was right. But you know what? Their faith didn't get right when it come time to go into the fiery furnace. It was right way before that. You know what our problem is? Our faith is not right until we hit the storm. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh God, increase my faith as soon as the storm hits. Get it right now. So when the furnace, the fire comes your way, that you're already ready to go. Verse number 21, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It killed the guys that threw them into the fiery furnace. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It's over for them. They're done. The fire is so hot it killed the men that throwed them in there. So you know that they're burning up on the inside of there. I'm sure the king is listening. And he has all of these important people standing around just listening to hear the screams, to hear them down there in torture so that everybody knows that he's powerful enough, that he does what he says he's going to do, that he's going to prove his point, that if you don't bow, if you don't follow me, if you don't back down, you'll end up just like these guys. They're all standing around looking and waiting to see the torture. Verse number 23, and these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the burning fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. And they're expecting him to turn around and say, well, I don't see but one of them. The other two's done disintegrated. They're already gone. Everybody standing around is like, yes, we knew that the king would do what he said he would do. But look what he says. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. If that don't get you goat, it ain't tied up. I'm telling you right now, I want you to know that he looked down in there and it wasn't that they were being punished. It wasn't that they were down there and screaming and torture. It wasn't that they were down there begging for mercy. But the Bible says that he looked down in there and he says, we throwed them in there and they were tied up. We throwed them in there and they were bound up. We throwed them in there and there's no way that they're going to survive. But he said, not only do I see three, but I see four and they're loose down there. I'm glad that God set me loose one day. Some of y'all probably wish I'd get tied back up, but I'm glad that God set me loose one day. He said, here, you're free. Then the Bible says, if the Son make you free, you are free indeed this morning. Aren't you glad that you've been set loose this morning? Amen. It's all right. Yeah, amen. Amen. Look what he said. I see four men loose. Well, you know, it'd be one thing if you looked down there and you said, well, Ray's down there with him. Ray down there. Ray jumped down there in the fire with him. How about that? He's down there looking for the cutoff switch. Old electrician, he's trying to fix it. But look what he says. He says, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. They're not down there tortured, but they have no hurt. Listen what this says. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. Right in the middle of the fire with them. Look, he showed up for their good. They stood on their faith. They didn't back down. They didn't follow what everybody else was doing. They become the weirdos. They become the ones that stood out. They were peculiar. But God showed up for their good. And it was so much so that the ones that would have pointed them out, the ones that would have called them out, the ones that punished them, knew that it was God that showed up in the fire with them. See, it was for their good, but it's all for his glory. Because he deserves every bit of our honor and glory and praise. Amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar, this is not at the end of it. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High, come forth. Look, he had to tell them to come out of the fire. They didn't. They was just walking out. Hey, king, what are you doing, man? High five. They were singing that song, that help is around the corner. What was it? How did it go? Help is on the way. There you go. And they got to that part that was rolling, rolling, rolling. Y'all heard that? I believe that's the way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was. I believe they come rolling up out of there. Hey, King, what are you doing? Listen, you got an image set up over there, but you just saw an image of the Son of God. Now I want to tell you who we're going to worship, and that is the Son of God. They came up out of the fire. Listen, then the Most High God came forth, came hit the shin, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men. Look, all the ha-ha crowd is all of a sudden taking notice of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You may not be part of the ha-ha crowd. You may think you're the weirdo. You may think that they have everything and you have nothing. But let me just tell you, down inside, they want what you got. They want what you got. They might not even understand what that is, but they want peace that passes all understanding. And it don't just have to be the ha-ha crowd. It can be the whole crowd, everybody that's lost. They're looking for what you have. Look, they're all taking notice of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look what happens. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Get this. Neither were their coats changed. I'm talking it didn't touch them, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You can't even build a little campfire in your backyard without going in the house smelling like you've been to hell and back. Ain't that true? Next morning you get up and you go, I smell that smoke. And smoke follows beauty, so it's always on me. But these guys were in the middle of a fiery furnace, turned up hotter than it had ever been turned up before. They were rescued by the God, our God. Listen, they said their God, but can I tell you this morning that that is your God this morning? And not even the smell of smoke was on their clothes. Man, that's how good our God is. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God. Listen, ooh, all of a sudden we're seeing something. It was for their good, right? Don't you think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego probably said, well, that was good that God done that for us. I have a feeling they were pretty doggone excited about that. God done something good for us. But watch you get some glory. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him. He recognized that they trusted God, and he recognized that God delivered them, and had changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Who's getting glory? God. He wasn't giving glory to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but he was recognizing who their God was. Therefore, I make a decree. Listen to the glory. That every people, nation, language would speak anything and miss the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon, again, for their good. Listen. If y'all are going to do an invitation song of some kind, come on, whoever's going to do it. I'm almost done. Listen, when we do things, it should never be that I'm going to try to be different so that everybody notices that I'm different. We hope that they notice that we're different. We hope that they notice that there's something different about us, that we're not just going to follow the crowd. But it shouldn't be so that they can say, well, that Mike, he's just a good Christian man. But it should be that they take notice of who our God is for our good and his glory. How are you giving God glory with your life? Are you allowing God to use you for your glory, for his glory? I'll say this one more time. This was not a saying that I come to church with this morning. This has been given to me while I was preaching this morning. If you're living a flip-flop Christian life, God's not getting glory out of your life. Well, preacher, I go to church. Hallelujah. We all need church, don't we? Man, I need church. People can talk about sinners in church. Put me at the top of the list. I need church. This is my refuge. This is my place where I come and recognize and take time out of my week to recognize God for who he is. And I don't know that he gets a whole lot of glory out of my life right here, but I get a lot of help from him right here. I need church. But you know where God needs to be getting glory out of my life? Right out there. Now, if I leave here today, and I've been preaching, I've been having one of the best times of my life up here. I love preaching. But if I leave here today, and I go out and live my life like everybody else, I know you're going to mess up. This is not a call to perfection. I think it should be a call for us to do our best for God's glory and to let him work in our lives. Yes. However, if I go out there and I live like everybody else and I bow just like everybody else, God's not getting a lot of glory out of my life, is he? Well, preacher, now you're getting to those do's and don'ts. And preacher, you've told us that you don't preach a whole lot on do's and don'ts. Let me give you one do. Do surrender your life unto God and let him use it for his glory, and everything else will fall into place. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Preacher, I'm here this morning. Can you play a little something for me, please? Preacher, I'm here this morning. I've heard the message. But I understand what a predicament that old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego must have been in. Because it's tough while you're out here and everybody else is doing their thing. And everybody else is together. But God's called us to be different. I understand what they must have been going through. And preacher, I struggle with that from time to time. I struggle to make the right choice. I struggle to say, I'm going to be different. I struggle to do what I know that God wants me to do. But preacher, I truly do want to surrender unto God. I truly do want to live a life that gives him glory. Would you just pray for me that I will allow God to work in my life, that he may be glorified through my life? Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Just leave them up for a moment. I'm going to scan. Amen. Thank you for all the hands. You put them right back down. Preacher, I'm here this morning and I've never chosen Jesus Christ. I know that he chose me because he gave his life for me on a cross. But I have never chosen to accept him as my Savior. I've never asked him to forgive me of my sins. Preacher, I know that if I died right now, we read about the fiery furnace, but I know that there's a literal burning place called hell. And I know if I died right now in the condition that I'm in without being saved, I know that I would die and go to hell. Preacher, I just want to be honest with you. I don't want to go to hell. I know that I need Jesus, but I'm not saved. Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. That's all I'll do. I'll not come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't call your name. Anyone, anywhere. Preacher, I've never been saved. I want you to pray for me. Lord, I want to thank you for this day, and I want to thank you for all your many blessings. God, I want to thank you for your word and what it gives us, God, and the examples that you've given us. And God, I pray that you'll help us to live lives that give you glory. Help us to not back down. Help us to be peculiar. Help us to have our faith settled so that when the fiery furnace comes our way, we got 100% confidence in our God that can deliver us. God, I pray that you'll bless every heart of every hand that was raised and the ones that wouldn't. God, I pray that you'll help us to leave here closer than we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with me this morning as they sing? If you need to come and ask God for help, if you need to come and maybe confess some things unto God, if maybe you need to come and ask God to forgive you of something, or maybe you just want to come and pray for someone, this altar's open. Would you come on as they sing?
Stolen, when I'm standing on the doors you open.
thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention. I really appreciate it. Look, I want you to know that while I was praying that I asked God to forgive me for lying, I told you I was going to preach fast, and I didn't do it. But that's okay. I had a good time, and I hope you did. But if you didn't, get over it. Come back next Sunday. It'll be all right. I love you. Thank God for you. Pray for these ministries. Pray for these announcements that we made before church started today. I ask you to be praying for our church, that God will just continue to bless us and use us for His glory and our good. KC, will you dismiss us in word of prayer this morning?